following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Next Wednesday night, we should be wrapping up this focus on the Holy Spirit, but I hope not. I mean, whether our next series of studies continues to focus on the Holy Spirit is not the point, but I pray that God is lighting a fire and a passion to be used by Him. I tell you, there's something that's so important about understanding that the Christian life, walking with Jesus, is not just about getting all the theological facts straight. Is everybody clear on that? It's not just about getting the facts straight. That's a part of it. As straight as we can, anyway. But it's about walking with Jesus. One of my favorite books in all the Bible is that fifth book in the New Testament. What's it called? The book of Acts. Not the book of thoughts, not the book of intentions, but the book of Acts. They did something. They went out, as Jesus instructed, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they just went for it. And that's what I'm praying that we'll be doing. That more and more, there'll be stories that we keep hearing about you guys going for it. Wherever you bump into people. Do any of you see people anytime during your day? Do you ever see a person anywhere that God will use you in that people's life, in those people's lives? Family, strangers, friends, you'd be surprised, absolutely surprised, how the slightest thing, word, deed in Jesus' name will make a difference. I think we've said that a lot over this time and this series. But anyway, tonight, we're going to jump around in a few verses in those chapters, John 13 through 16, in this next to the last installment of God with No Name. And tonight, I just want to talk about just say Jesus. Go ahead and say that out loud. What do you know about that name? That name. What do you know about that name, Jesus? It's above every other name. It's the name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, what? Every knee shall bow. Yeah. And we're going to talk about, you know, being people that aren't embarrassed, aren't afraid to say that name. You know by now, I hope, how much I love this last serious talk that Jesus had with his closest friends, his disciples, just before he went to be crucified for them. John 13 through 17, really, but 16 is the end of the chat with them. And then in chapter 17, Jesus talks with the Father on their behalf and about what he's about to do. But this chat was to prepare them for a very shocking transition that they were about to go through. He was leaving, and they were staying, and they weren't thrilled about that. And they had a mission to accomplish. And the way this folds into what we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, they had a mission to accomplish, and the Holy Spirit was going to help them get that done. And he would be there to help them on that. So the Holy Spirit has a mission himself. And what I want to look at tonight is what that mission of the Spirit of God was all about. And we have visited this. We've kind of bounced in and out of this chapter, but I wanted to tie a few things together here in this next to the last study. And oh man, I'm telling you, this right here, where did I put it? Here it is, this right here. It may not look like much to you, but I'm excited about this little sheet of paper right here. Because there's some thoughts that began to come together in my mind over the last couple of days and yesterday while I was walking and slower than normal, because I told the doctor today, I said, can I get back up to speed? You know, I like to walk fast, I like to walk far. And he said, well, how fast do you walk? And I told him, well, I try to walk about a mile every 15 minutes, about 4 miles an hour. And he said, well, that's kind of fast. Slow down, 2.5 miles an hour, something like that. I said, that's too slow. But anyway, while I was out walking slow, there was just something that really popped in my heart and in my mind, and I've got it on this little sheet of paper. And it's stirring, and I'm just so excited. That's next Wednesday night. to share this with you. Did you think this was tonight? No, it's next week. Because it has to marinate for a while. How many of you speak or preach or anything like that? You know, you got to let it marinate. You got to let it soak. And so that's next week. But the Holy Spirit has this mission. And the Holy Spirit, you know this, He is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a real person. Not like any person that you've ever met. The Holy Spirit is not just a sort of, you know, a power out there in the universe. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just this explosive power like dynamite. How many of you have ever heard that before? That Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And if you've been around church for a while, you've heard some preacher or teacher or home Bible study leader, someone on the radio. If you listen to K-Wave, you probably hear this 4 or 5 times a week if you listen all day long. And I hope you don't, because you probably have other things to do. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to K-Wave. But you know that the word behind that word power is the word we get our word, what? Dynamite from. That's an unfortunate thing that we've turned the idea of the Holy Spirit into something destructive like dynamite. Because the Holy Spirit has not come to blow things up. He's come to build things up. He's come to build up the body of Christ. And there is something dynamic. It's the same word, same root word for that. There is something powerful about the Holy Spirit, but He's not a stick of TNT or dynamite or C4. Is there to just destroy things. The Holy Spirit is the power of God, is resident in the Holy Spirit, who then when you say, Lord, fill me, guess where that Holy Spirit power is now? Wherever the Holy Spirit is, wherever the person of the Holy Spirit is, there He is with all of His power. But Jesus said, you will be witnesses for me. The power of God will come upon you. You will be endued with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses. Can I give you just a word of instruction and caution? Don't go C4 on somebody you're witnessing to, okay? Don't explode upon them. You don't need to be TNT. You don't need to be dynamite. You need to be dynamic, I guess you would say, but you speak in the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit, and that's what that's all about. In John chapter 14, we're going to flip back and forth. I hope you're ready for that, but in John chapter 14, here it is. Look at verse 25. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. I say this every time I read a little bit from this passage or this portion of Scripture between chapter 13 and 17. Sometime soon, sit down and take the 10 to 15 minutes it takes to read through all 4 of those chapters, 13, 14, 15, 5 of those chapters. 17 minutes. But take the time that you need and read all of that written to you, written for all of us. Jesus said this, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, some translations say the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will bring it to you, the Helper. The Comforter. The word behind the word helper there, it sounds like a bird. It sounds like a tiny little bird. Who knows what it is? Paraclete. Parakeet, paraclete. It's, again, he's not going to be some tweety little bird, all right? But he'll be the Comforter. Now I said this on the weekend that I wonder if the name of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit has a name, and I believe He does, hasn't been directly revealed to us like Jesus, like Yahweh, like Jehovah. But if He has a name, maybe His name is Paracletus. So maybe we could call Him Perry. I don't know, but His name is Comforter. His name is Helper. It's all those things that He does. Even when God is speaking to the children of Israel out in the wilderness and He begins to tell them who He is and what His name means, His name means all kinds of things, and it's the character that falls out of it and the qualities that fall out of His name. The Holy Spirit, His name means comfort. His character is all about comfort and empowerment, empowering you, not to do what you want, but to do what God wants you to do for Him. And He wants, again, to build things up through you in other people's lives. And specifically, According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has a very, very focused mission. He has a mission among us. He has a mission upon us when he comes upon us as we gather. He has a mission within us to develop something of Christ and the character of Jesus Christ in us. His mission upon us when we gather together, when we go from here, to do what we've just spoken of, to empower us, to give us the dynamic power to say things and do things in his name that will bring people alive in Jesus Christ. When we lock ourselves into a closet to get some of that away time, come away time, you can't get alone because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all with you. You may be a loner, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you are not alone. Amen? You're with him and he's with you. And the Holy Spirit is there with you when you close yourself off from the world for a brief time. I saw this place I'd love to go visit sometime. I think it's somewhere in Greece, somewhere in that part of the world. And it's these pinnacles that rise up out of these jagged mountains and even more jagged pinnacles. And on the top of every one of those rock stacks, some of them are up to 800 feet higher than the mountains that they jut up from, are monasteries. On the top of every one, just precariously perched up there, where men of God would go away completely from the world, many of them for the rest of their life. I don't know about them. But I know that for me, God has not called me to come away from the world forever, but for a time, to get alone with him. And that may be anywhere from 30 minutes of time to a week of time. Oh, a week is a long time for me to be disconnected from what I know God's called me to. But when you go away with him and the Holy Spirit communes with you, he does something deep, deep down in your heart that's developing even maybe more of the calling that God has upon you. But specifically, according to Jesus, the Holy Spirit has this focused mission even when we lock ourselves away and we say, God, I'm going to just look to you for a while. Just for, maybe it's, like I said, just for those 30 minutes alone, shh, quiet, shh. And you listen with your heart open and the Word of God open to what God might say. In fact, as you read through here, and we'll jump around to these verses, as Jesus gives the final instruction to his disciples, and I want you to mark these down, circle them in your Bible and even memorize them in your own heart. Jesus says, I've got to go. Look at it there in John chapter 16. Now, he's already said at the beginning of chapter 14, where he said, don't be troubled, don't let your heart be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I have to go away. But I love the way he put it emphatically in chapter 16, verse 17. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. And they said for him, what is this? A little while. We do not know what he's saying. Then Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. And I actually was looking for a different verse, but that was good too, wasn't it? It's where Jesus said, I tell you, it's in there somewhere. Trust me. Somebody finds it, shout it out. It's where he said, I must go away. I have to go away. And he said it absolutely emphatically at the beginning, like I said, in chapter 14, where at the beginning of that chapter, he says, I'm going a way to prepare a place for you. I must go and prepare a place for you. Then the second one, he says, you've got to stay. In chapter 13, in verse 16, here's what he says. I hope this is the right one. He says in verse 36, Simon Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Jesus said, I'm going, you're staying. I think that had to be disappointing to them. Especially to these guys who really, the ones in that upper room, they all had given everything to follow him. It wasn't too many chapters earlier, however many months before it was, when Jesus said some very, very hard things to a group of would-be followers. They certainly weren't committed like this inner core was. And he talks to them about, you got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. And they said, if that's on the menu, we're out of here. And did not wait for explanation. And Jesus turns to the rest that are left. How many were left? The 12. And he said, aren't you leaving? Don't you have something better to do? Aren't you leaving also? And they said, no, where else would we go? We've given up on everything behind. We have locked ourselves in with you. And you know they wanted to be where he was. But Jesus said, no, I'm going and you're staying. You're going to stay behind. You do not get to come with me this time. Not on this journey. They have no idea. He's talking about being crucified, then rising from the dead. All they know is that Jesus is making it very clear he's going and they're staying. In verse 34, 35, Jesus is telling them, you got to stay here because you got to stay on your mission. You have something to do. Here's the mission. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. That's not the end of their mission. That's our mission with one another. Oh my goodness. Pastor Chuck didn't even like the phrase, oh my goodness. Because he said, I know what you wanted to say there. You know, like everybody else says the oh my God thing. But let me just say, oh my goodness, listen. What if the church followed that command? I mean, look around the room a little bit. See anybody you know? You're not looking, are you? No, you're all looking right at me. Okay, you can do that up here. You can look up. You guys can look up at me. Let me tell you what you're seeing. You're seeing somebody who doesn't deserve your love. And I'm probably seeing the same thing when I look back your way, aren't I? If you looked around the room, you'd see a lot of people, some of them whom you know well enough to realize, gosh, there's reasons why I shouldn't love them. I know stuff about them. How many of you know stuff about, don't point at anybody, but how many of you know stuff about people? And you know what I'm talking about, the kind of stuff that is, oh, that's not so good. I know that about that person. I was walking out of the building yesterday, and Isaac was out there watching the door. We have pastors up in the front throughout the week. And it was just a thought that was on my mind. I said to Isaac as I walked by, I said, do you think there are any unbroken people in the world? Have you ever met an unbroken person? There's not a one. We're all broken. There's stuff about all of us. And so our job, our assignment here, Jesus said, and he even prays about it again in chapter 17. Read that one later. Is to love each other and to walk in unity with one another. Oh, man. If we did that, our job would be more than half done in representing Christ in this world. But look over at chapter 14. It's the other part of our work. Jesus said this, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit. So our mission, as we stay here, Jesus must go, we must stay, and while we stay, we've got to stay on mission. Christian, listen, your mission is simple. Love God. Love each other, and do this, what he said. Whatever Jesus did, he said, my disciples are going to do it as well. In fact, he said, they will do greater. I have to believe that the greater meant greater in number than Jesus himself did while he was on this planet. That he would send you and I, multiply his ministry in you and I, and send us out into the world to touch countless people in his name. What am I supposed to do? Well, read the Gospels and see what Jesus did. Bring the message of truth to them and speak the words of love to them. The words of God, the deeds of heaven touching down upon them. Did you have that verse, Joel? Were you pointing down? 16:7. Who else found it? 16:7. All right. Well done. My daughter found it. 16:7. I got to read that and put it in place there. When this airs on the radio, I'm going to look like a dummy pastor, aren't I? But anyway, with smart people in the congregation, that's good. Nevertheless, I tell you, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. So put that up. Just take the one off of the 17 up there under the fact that Jesus must go. You must stay. You must stay on mission. And your mission, my mission, is to preach Jesus and reach out in his name to do those great works in his name. The last one here is the promise that the Comforter would come. Let's hope I got these ones right. 14, verse 16 and 17. In chapter 14, verse 16, we just read that, I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look at verse 26, same chapter. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. I love this about the profile of his ministry. This is so exciting. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now look over chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, you know how conversations like this go around the dinner table, don't you? Where you start on a thought and somebody interrupts you and it's 5 minutes later, oh, let me get back to that. I think that's the dynamic of what happens at the table, because these themes of love and the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer, they're kind of scattered all throughout this evening's conversation. This was not like a three-point seamless message that Jesus preached that night to his disciples. But here in that last verse, look at it again. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come. And when he has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Read verse 14 with me. He will glorify me. More than 12 people. Let's read this together out loud, okay? Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit then among us is that he would come as a helper, as a teacher, as the Spirit of truth to lead us and to guide us. I love that song we sang tonight. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. How many of you pray something like that? Oh, God, don't let me be shallow. Don't let me be shallow. I had this thought this week. I was reading through something of C.S. Lewis. I finally finished up that book on grief. Whew. Wow. That was a hard one. It was a skinny little book, but it was so hard. You know what I wrote on the inside of it? You know, you flip open the cover and you got like another cover on the inside, says the same thing. I wrote this. I said, I hate this book. I love this book. And I did. I really meant that. It was just so hard to read him wrestling in the depths of that pain. But he said this about God. And I had to look. Every time I read C.S. Lewis, I got to look up words, because some of them are just bigger than I, and just, he writes stuff in Latin. I don't know Latin, but he used the word precis or precis, P-R-E-C-I-S with one of those weird little Latin accents above it. And what it meant was summary. He said we get hooked on a summary of God and we stop at that point. And he said he finds God shattering his understanding of him time after time after time as he goes deeper with God. How many of you have had that happen? How many of you are thankful that you've had that happen? That little mediocre, your God, remember, it was J.B. Phillips who wrote the book, Your God is Too Small? Thank God that he shatters those ideas and those idols of who he is not, so we can get to know who he is. And I had this thought that sometimes I feel like what I show people of my life, what people see of my life, they see from the curb. And you know, a certain person's life can have curb appeal, you know? And the front yard might look good and the front porch might look good, but don't open that door because it's a fixer-upper on the inside. You're going to find stuff on the inside that's going to make you slam that door. It might be death on the inside. And I wonder how many times my life is just, it has more curb appeal than there really is treasure on the inside. And I just found myself praying again, God, take me deeper. Take me deeper. That's why I was so thrilled when we sang that song tonight. I don't want to stay shallow, God. I want you to do a deeper, more lasting work in me that really does make me more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit will lead you there. Well, certainly deeper in your character, but from what we're seeing up here, hopefully, I hope what you're getting here, understanding this, is that what the Holy Spirit wants to do is He wants to take me to new places. He may even take me to new venues of ministry that are frighteningly new to me. Or maybe you've been there before and it's frightening to go back there. I really honestly don't understand where you know, someone like Susan over and over again gets the courage to go where she goes. I know there's family there, but I know there's danger there too. I don't understand how the Kenans get the courage to load up on the plane and go back to where they are. It's a lot nicer here. It feels a lot safer here. But God may take you to new venues, and He may take you out on new ventures of faith for Him, all for this one reason. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to do: to elevate the understanding of Jesus Christ, to make Jesus known. Look at it again. I want you to read it out loud with me, verse 13 and 14 in chapter 16. I want you to at least read loud enough you can hear your voice reading these words off the page there. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own. See the word authority there in your Bible in italics? You could almost, it's inferred, and I trust the translators there, but it would read, I guess, more accurately if it just read, He will not speak of His own. In other words, He's not trying to elevate Himself, which is maybe the reason we don't know His name. But He won't speak on His own authority. Keep reading now. But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Spirit of God does in our lives is to elevate, to exalt Jesus, to make a big deal about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's mission is all about using you, now that you're saved, to make Jesus famous in this region. That's what glorify means: to glorify Christ, to make Him the celebrity, to make Him the important one, to put the spotlight squarely on Him so that we could see Him and understand Him. It really still, I mean, it's cliche, and I hope it hasn't become a dead cliche. It is all about Jesus, the name that's above every name. So even though we're studying about the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Spirit is to make Christ known, to glorify Christ, to build you up in the power of Christ. And let me tell you, that is one exciting life, to be on a team that's making Jesus known in our world. So why don't we, and I mean we, I'm not scattergunning you right now, okay? Why don't we, including I, say Jesus more to the people that we know and love, live near, and play with? You still play. You know, the people we hang out with and enjoy life with. Why don't we just say Jesus more? Oh, I say God bless you. That's good. It's a good start. But why not find a way to work Jesus into your tweets and your Instagrams and your Facebook's posts? And why not make a big deal about Jesus? Why not do what the Holy Spirit's doing? Glorify Jesus and build up that great name for as long as we have opportunity to do it, which, as far as I know, is only while we live here. The Holy Spirit will always empower the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If He finds a man or a woman or a young person that is intent on saying Jesus to this world, and by that I mean saying, preaching the gospel, voicing the gospel in those conversations that He graciously gives us, if He finds any man or woman or child that will be intent on this, I want the world to know about Jesus, you can bet that He will empower you for that. You may not get the buzzes, but you will get the power. And God will anoint the ministry of your words, your voicing of the gospel. Every time we exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have the dunamis, Not to blow things up, but to build things up and to build people up. A simple blessing of Jesus loves you to somebody. And I know that's a little, takes a little more courage than to say, God bless you. But to say Jesus loves you. When you have the right opportunity to do that and to identify this one that loves him, whether you put it in a letter or a postcard or you write it on your peachy or you put it on your bulletin board, maybe it's a screen that floats around on your desk when it finally goes to the screensaver. I love the people of God who go crazy for Jesus. I mean, people go crazy for crazy things, don't they? How many of you know somebody that goes crazy over things that don't matter, really? That does not include the Cincinnati Bengals. It's okay to go facetious. Let them call you crazy. I heard a statement from a man. You'll know his name. I'll give you his name in a moment. But this is back in 1997, and he was talking about the fact that it's a very noisy world out there. It's a very complicated world, full of people that are hearing all these messages, and he was talking about how to get his message out to as many people around the world as he could. And he says, we're vying for attention of the world around us. And so they launched this campaign. Some of you will remember the text from this commercial. But he said, what we need to do is be clear about who we are, what we believe in. We need to be clear about, you know, what our mission is in this world. And here's the text from the commercial that some of us heard, most of us heard 17 years ago. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. They have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the one thing you cannot do is ignore them. Because they change things, they invent, they imagine, they heal, they explore, they create, they inspire, they push the human race forward. Maybe they have to be crazy. How else can you stare at an empty canvas and see a work of art? Or sit in silence and hear a song that's never been written? Or gaze at a red planet and see a laboratory on wheels? We make tools for these kinds of people. While some see them as crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Anybody know who said that? Anybody know who said that? Steve Jobs. To sell you a very expensive tool. That's what he did. To sell you Apple. To sell you computers. And all he did was make arguably a better wrench. That's all that an Apple computer is a wrench. It's a digital wrench to get something done. And I was intrigued when I heard that commercial and I heard the text of it. And I thought about what our endeavor is. That was all about just a simple tool. And they went to one of the most expensive ad agencies in the whole wide world to help them come up with a 15-second, a 30-second, and a 60-second ad to get you to fork over a little bit more for what he was sure was a much better tool. And a lot of people here agree, and some Microsoft people don't agree that it was a better tool, but that's all that it was. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not a tool. The Holy Spirit is a person who wants to work hand in glove with you. He's a friend. He's an empowerer. He is the paraclete, the comforter, and he wants to do something great in you so he can do something great through you. He calls you and me to do more than just to build a better world. He calls you and I to build broken souls in partnership with him, and it blows me away anytime I get used to do anything like that. It just literally, truly, really does. You've been called by God, filled by the Spirit of God, and sent to preach Jesus everywhere to as many people as you can, and to never give up on this, to be, and let them call you Jesus freak, if they will, to make a big deal, to make much about Jesus Christ, much about him. I reposted a friend's Instagram picture today. It was a quote from John Newton. He said, my memory is gone, but what I do remember is that I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior. Whoo! Everybody say, whoo! Man, I love that. When my memory goes, I hope I remember that. Though I'm a great sinner, he's a great Savior. Here's some people that I am so thankful for. His name, and I'm sorry, I'm in most of these pictures because I couldn't find one without. His name is Mike Mills. And believe it or not, that guy is only 5 years younger than me, and he looks 25 years younger than me. I knew him as a young Jesus freak in, I think, 1974 or 5. He called me the other day, and there was a message for me to call him back, but the wrong last name was on the message. And while I'm talking, he says, "You remember me, don't you, Bill?" I said, "I'm not really. No, I don't." But then when I got his last name right, and as he was getting ready to hang up, and he said, "God bless you, Bill," the way he said "God bless you" to me, it triggered something in my memory. I said, "Mike, I know you." And this guy's still Jesus freaking, you know, 38 years later, and loving Jesus with all of his heart. I love that, brother. I'm going to tell you what we have in common, too. That guy's name is Richie. Not Richie, that's his last name is Rich. His name is Jesse Rich. He was in the School of Ministry in Albuquerque. And if this was a movie, you would see him shaking. Jesse has the beginning of one of those diseases that will one day stop him. But it hasn't stopped him yet. Serving Jesus in Uganda, in Jinja, Uganda. Loving the people. And he's just a Jesus freak. Him and his wife, Bev, will not stop. They're going to exalt Jesus and say, "Jesus, all." You guys know those guys. How many of you know those guys? Come on. Are those two Jesus freaks or what? How many of you in here have been touched by Fern and Jerry? Yeah, come on. Those guys have touched so many people's lives, and they're not done. They won't give up on it. I mean, you're thankful that they won't give up. And they've touched our lives. They're just one of they're paracletes. They really are comforters. They're encouragers. Odin Fong right there. We've known Odin since back in 1971, about the time I met the pretty lady in the middle, the rose between the two thorns there. But I'm so thankful that's a brother that continues to get up and just keep moving on. And just another Jesus freak, that Jesus freak in the middle. Thank God. How many of us were touched by Chuck's life? Chuck was just all about Jesus, and some of that spilled over onto us, didn't it? This guy, you've never met him, but you've heard me talk about him, I think even last week. The guy in the first picture, Mike, he sent me this picture. This is Brother Harold, who you've heard me talk about. The old man born in 1899. I met him in 1973, and Brother Harold was the guy that would stand on the street corner there in Palm Springs every day that he could get out there, and he would just tell people, "God loves you, love him back." He would preach Jesus everywhere that he went, and he didn't care what people called him. Yeah, he was a Jesus freak. He was a Jesus people. He was intent on lifting up the name that's above every name. So what I want to ask you to do is to say to Jesus, "Here I am, Lord. Fill me. I'm ready to speak Jesus. I'm ready to say Jesus everywhere I can to somehow elevate you, and I won't get the words right, and I'll stumble over my words, and I don't know how to do a 3 or 4 point sermon, and neither does my pastor know how to do that, but Lord, what I'll do is I'll say Jesus for you. Would you anoint me as I say Jesus, as I voice the message of Jesus to this world?"
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.